now living in California, Irv stayed at my house while he tracked down the cover-up of how Jimmy Superfly Snuka probably killed his girlfriend in a Pennsylvania motel room in 1983. The Von Erich and Snuka stories would be included in Irv's 2007 collection, Wrestling Babylon. In the 1990s, as night follows day, scandal racked WWF. The original Mark Doctor, George Zahorian, got busted by the feds for distributing steroids like Tic Tacs. McMahon himself was indicted but acquitted at trial. His company, competing in a race to the bottom with Ted Turner's deeper-pocketed World Championship Wrestling, clawed back with R-rated programming, which glommed the crotch-grabbing wit of D-Generation X onto the perverse family pitch of the Hulkamania era. In the course of our long friendship, Munchak and I haven't always seen eye to eye. You can't always be right, you know. But I've leaned on him for information, insight, and inspiration far more often than he has on me. I simply appreciate and admire Irv's work for projecting a vision of wrestling's dark side in a way that transcends the subject. His larger canvas isn't wrestling. It's how all of late Empire America has been wrestlingized. In my post column, Vince McMahon's sleaze mill gets less attention than it once did. This fact does not reflect that there are bigger fish to fry, so much as it acknowledges the sad triumph of wrestling values throughout sports and culture. In years to come, for example, we're certain to see more and more veterans of baseball's steroid era dying young, like Ken Caminiti, and like the hundreds of wrestlers both before and after him. The ESPN TV, radio, and magazine brands, not to mention sports talk in general and even national political discourse, all subscribe to the puerile attitude playbook pioneered by WWE. As a critic, I no longer need to note that fringe programming foretells the content of the mainstream. The future is now, and crude is in, and not likely to fade. Meanwhile, from his own perspective, Munchnik is still throwing facts into the fire, still connecting the dots between the sacred cows of respectable society and the wrestle world they collude with. I'm glad he is. The Benoit murder-suicide was one of the most sensational crime stories of 2007, and it cried out for the scrutiny of someone with a longer attention span and more intellectual integrity than the local authorities, the media, and Congress brought to bear on it. If you can read what Irv has dug up and continue to turn your head, then your powers of denial exceed mine. Introduction. The horror of Chris Benoit's June 2007 murder-suicide rampage is as good a reminder as any that it is high time to demystify professional wrestling. For too long, this industry has been inoculated from scandal by a banal mystique, the widespread belief that it is an enterprise whose offbeat rhythms simply cannot be mastered, and one whose players' motives lie beyond ordinary human understanding. Baloney and double baloney. Beneath the carny lingo and mafioso code of silence rests a conventional, profit-driven sector of show business, studded not only with glory-seeking performers, but also with television executives, writers, technicians, chic-seeking kitsch kings, two-faced politicians. This is nothing less than the periodic table of the elements of mainstream American pop culture. Sports entertainment is sports and entertainment, only more so. The industry's dominant company, World Wrestling Entertainment, controlling more than 95% of the North American market and a vast majority worldwide, has grown into a multinational with more than $1 billion in capitalization. It features an accompanying dark side as broad as a half moon, hidden in plain sight. The brainchild of Vincent Kennedy McMahon, trailer park incorrigible turned Forbes 400 squatter, WWE flowered in Connecticut, the same greenhouse that produced Phineas Taylor Barnum. The state's former governor, Lowell Weicker, once upon a time a hero of the state Watergate Committee, is a charter member of the WWE Board of Directors.